rest, the doctrine of rest. We live in a world and a generation, and the American culture is filled with running to and fro and turmoil and a troubled heart, a troubled mind, a troubled life. But I believe this evening there is such a thing as the doctrine of rest. The doctrine of rest. And I'll preface the message before we even have you stand and read the scripture tonight. We're not talking about laziness. You can be a lazy person and never know what it is to rest. And our culture is plagued with that. Amen. We was away the other week down in Florida, and we was going to go in the Burger King and get some drinks and go walk up and down the beach for a little while. And we was in there, and I mean, it was, I think there was two people working the whole thing in the rush hour, and it was just utter chaos. And this old man, he got agitated about it, and he got cussing Burger King and all the people that was there. I said, "Hey, buddy, these are the only two that actually showed up for work today, and it ain't Burger King's fault." Amen. And there's a generation steeped in laziness. It won't work, won't hold down a job. Amen. And they're lazy, but they are not resting. And you can be the hardest working man or woman in the building and still know what it is to rest. Amen. So we want to look at this evening, if the Lord will help us tonight. Let's stand together. And we are preaching through the gospel according to Mark, just verse by verse, line upon line. I'm going to read three verses to you tonight. We'll get right after it and give you these thoughts. Kind of an unusual message, but I think it'll be important and needful to us tonight. The Bible said, as we pick up in verse number 30, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." And verse 32 said, "And they departed into a desert place by ship privately." And we'll leave off our reading there, and we'll bring the thoughts to you, the doctrine of rest. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're so thankful you brought us back by this way again tonight. Lord, it's been an unusual Lord's Day, just the service this morning and how you arranged everything. And Lord, we've settled back in here tonight and enjoyed the singing and the songs of Zion that have magnified our Lord and our Savior and His faithfulness and His goodness in our life. And Lord, we're glad we can say amen to every one of these songs that have been sung. They prepared us, Lord, to have a desire to want to hear what God has for us from His Word. And I pray now that you'd help us. Help me tonight. Lord, is the voice, the messenger, the one that, Lord, whose lot it is to bring the Word of God tonight. I pray that you'd use us for your honor and for your glory. I pray, Lord, that you'd make us and use us to be a help to the people of God tonight. And Lord, the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, and those that, Lord, are in this service and are listening other places, I pray, Lord, for those under the sound of our voice, that, Lord, they would be blessed and they'd be helped, they'd be challenged. Lord, that they would gain some knowledge, Lord, in the doctrines that we'll teach and declare tonight. Lord, I pray it would all, Lord, be brought, Lord, together in our hearts. The Spirit of God would sure these things up. And that, Lord, we would seek, Lord, to put it into practice even this week. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Several weeks back, as we begun chapter number 6, we dealt with the calling of the 12. And Christ called them in verse number 7 of this same chapter. He sends them out 2 by 2 to go and be His missionaries and His ministers and servants into the region of Galilee of the land of Israel in the days of Christ. They was to go and minister. They was to do their travel by foot. They was to carry their message as far and wide as they could possibly get it, as the Spirit of the Lord would lead them to do. And they were successful, and they evidently, according to our verse, gathered themselves after some time. And we believe after, at the very least, many weeks, some have supposed that it could have been several months' time has passed between the sending of them out in verses 7 through 13 and their gathering back to Christ in our verse tonight, in verses tonight in verse number 30, that during that time, be it several weeks or several months, they have been expending energy in their mission endeavors, getting the gospel out. They've encountered, according to what Christ had foretold them in Matthew's account of their sending out, they have encountered a lot of reception, but they have encountered a lot of rejection. They have gone into town after town after town and house after house. They, according to Christ and what He told them they were going to face, have endured a lot of things that have no doubt brought stress, have brought labor, have brought a hardship upon them. And they've endured that. Yes, there's been a lot of joy, and yes, there's been a lot of good times, but there's been a lot of expending of energy and resources and strength that they have given for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to this place, we find that these verses deal with this season of rest that Christ is going to lead them after a time of much toil and of much labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, read with me again in verse number 31, He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. And I love this phrase, and rest a while. Jesus said, I know what you've been through. I know what you have expended at my expense. I know what you've given. I know what it has cost you to go and to labor and to serve. Though they have come back on some sort of a high and they've got much excitement in their heart about what they've been able to accomplish, Christ is aware of their need of rest and their need to simply come apart for a little while and to find rest and recovery for their life. The Bible teaches you and I much about the subject of rest. And Christ said the disciples rest a while, but much can be gleaned about our own need for rest and how that we can attain that from a scriptural standpoint. A lot of things we could say tonight from Genesis clear to Revelation about the doctrine of rest. And I don't want to belabor that. I want to really focus in our text here in just a moment. But let me give you seven or eight references tonight about rest in the Word of God. I think when we think about the doctrine of rest, first and foremost, when we began to study it, we need to understand it is God that set the pattern of resting. He did that, and we believe, in six little 24-hour days of creation. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was God that labored. It was God that my friend did His handiwork in creation. After all these 6,000 years of humanity and creation as we know it, we understand that we're still enjoying the labor and the handiwork of Almighty God all of these years later, and what a work that He did. But we believe God made all that is in six literal days of creation. The Bible said when it came to the seventh day in Genesis chapter number 2, in fact, let me read the verses to you, and we let them speak for themselves. Verse 1, Genesis 2, 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because it in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. And there's a lot of things that have been taken out of context in those verses. Amen. I will say God did not rest because He was weary in His work. Our God never wearies, and our God never slumbers and has never a need for sleep. Amen. He rested as a pattern and as a means of sanctifying the seventh day. amen, setting a pattern to mankind that you're going to need rest. Amen, you are going to get weary. You are going to get tired. And you need to have a day where you come apart and you follow the pattern that God has established and find some rest along life's way. And so it is God that established the pattern of resting. Amen. That seventh day, and we can get into the Sabbath day teachings of the Old Testament. Amen. And then the New Testament, how the Sabbath has been replaced in the first day of the week. Sanctified is the Lord's day in honor of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't have a Sabbath day of rest anymore as it relates to religious activities. Amen. We do believe in having a day of rest. Amen. God established that as a pattern in the beginning. And what kind of rest do we need? We need, according to the Word of God, rest for our flesh. You'll read about that in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 5. Rest for our spirit in 2 Corinthians 2 and in verse number 13. And then there's a need for rest for our soul. Amen. That God sent to Old Testament Israel. And if they would follow His word, they would find rest for their soul. Jesus in the New Testament, amen, declared, "You shall find rest for your soul." And so there is a need in our being, in what we are as humanity and mankind, a need for rest in our soul. Amen. In each of these, we find that we need rest physically, we need rest emotionally, and we need rest spiritually. And might I say, the greatest rest is spiritual rest. Amen. If you find physical rest and you find an emotional rest, but you never find spiritual rest, you have missed the mark of what the Word of God declares in the doctrine of rest. And so there's a threefold need of rest. Can I say tonight? And rest is ultimately found in coming to Christ. Amen. It's ultimately found in coming to Christ. Here's what He said. Amen. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what did He say? I will give you rest. Amen. He knew that mankind would be wore out. And He knew mankind, my friend, would be labored and laden down, amen, troubled in the life that we live. Amen. But Christ said that, amen, if you'll come to me, you'll find the rest that you need. Amen. A lot we could say and we'll say, hopefully, before the service is over, amen, about Christ being our rest. Amen. I want to say tonight, in the Word of God, rest comes by one's relationship to the Word of God. Amen. In Jeremiah 6:16, the Bible said, the Lord said, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way. And here's what God said, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Amen. The Lord said you need an old time way. Amen. You don't need some new landmark. You don't need some new standards. You need the old paths to be lifted up in your life. You need my ways as the marker by which you live by. Amen. And may I say, somebody saying, well, what are the old paths? Amen. The old paths are simply the commandments of God. Amen. It's what God has instructed us to live in His Word. Amen. Ways of holiness and ways of sanctification. Amen. Ways that God has distinguished for His people to live by. Amen. That is the old paths. That's what is contained in the Word of God. Amen. And if you'll live by that, God said you'll have rest in your soul. Amen. But the Bible said in that same verse, ending out, amen, but they said, we will not walk therein. Amen. And there's a generation, they long for rest. They're seeking for rest. They're attempting to attain rest in their mind and in their soul. and in their life, and they refuse to walk in the ways of God. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, there is no rest outside of one's relationship with the Word of God. Amen. Believe that's right tonight. Rest. I think it is important. Amen. In our lives, being sinner, saint alike. And rest is hindered because of unbelief and hardness of heart. There's a great section about rest in the New Testament contained in the book of Hebrews chapter number 3 and in chapter number 4. In Hebrews 3 verse 7 through 19, the Apostle Paul begins to speak about, amen, and he opens up a thought with today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart as they did in the day of provocation. And he begins to take you and I as New Testament believers on a historical journey back into the Old Testament and the history of the nation of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. Amen. They rejected the will of God. Amen. They had unbelief and they hardened their heart to God's will for their life. And in doing so, they missed out on the land of rest. Amen. In fact, God adamantly said, amen, because of your unbelief and your hardness of heart, ye shall not enter into my rest. Amen. He wanted them to have rest. Amen. He led them to the place they could have had rest, but because of unbelief and hardness of heart, and rejection of God's very best for their life, they missed out on the rest that could have been theirs. And Paul brings that in the parallel into the New Testament, child of God's life, that, my friend, you and I, amen, if we're going to attain unto rest, if we're going to live a life, amen, that does not fall short of the rest that is in Christ Jesus, and my friend, we must be willing to embrace the Lord. And we must be willing to accept His best for our life. Amen. We must be willing to follow His plan for our life. Amen. We must be willing to follow Him no matter where it leads, no matter what it costs us. Amen. And the whole truth of Hebrews 4 is, amen, if you'll do the will of God, no matter where that takes you, you will find the rest you need for your soul. He adamantly declares that, amen, in Hebrews 4 verses 1 through 11, and rest is attainable here and now. There remaineth therefore a rest to the children of God. And I say tonight, I'm glad that rest is attainable. Amen. In a world filled with chaos, in a world that, amen, seeks to be known for all that, amen, they accomplish by way of climbing the corporate ladder, and by way of priding themselves in their work, how hard they can go at it and how long they can go at it. Amen. I'm glad in this kind of a world tonight, amen, that rest is attainable here and now. Amen. You see, it doesn't come from, amen, reaching a position in the company. It doesn't come to you and is attained to your life. Amen. Because of financial gain and financial peace that you have. Amen. Nothing wrong with those things. But, amen, listen. Amen. What I'm trying to say tonight, amen, there are people that are trying to attain rest in those things that, amen, know nothing about true rest in their being. Amen. But it is attainable. Rest is attainable. I know we're making our way slow. You hang with me. Rest is attainable here and now. I think it's important, though it is attainable here and now, the matter of the rest and eternity is a very important subject in the Word of God. In fact, in Revelation 14, it deals with it, that rest is eternally absent in hell. There is a generation that is craving rest tonight, trying to find it everywhere except in the Word of God and in a relationship with Christ. And if they die in the shape they're in tonight, they are headed to a place Amen. Where the Bible said they rest not day nor night. Amen. That forever they will be eternally separated from even the possibility of attaining rest. Two verses later in the same chapter, we find rest is eternally present in heaven. The child of God can attain rest tonight. It is attainable here and now, and yet in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the work of God, in the midst of all that we're bombarded with in life and in family and in employment, and just the things that come with living life and the sorrows and the hardship. Amen. It seems like, amen, striving to enter into that rest sometimes. Amen. Seems like we're getting weary trying to find rest. Amen. But I remind you tonight, child of God, amen, we are headed to a land, amen, that has been termed the haven of rest. Amen. A haven of rest. Amen. A place where we will cease from our labor. And my friend, you and I shall eternally know what rest truly is. Amen. So tonight, when we think about the doctrine of rest, a lot of other places probably we could go, no doubt. In fact, the word rest, not just in this form, the word rest itself, amen, is used, I think, 270 sometimes in your King James Bible. Amen, not counting rested or resting in the other forms of the word. Amen. And so it is a vast subject in the Word of God, the doctrine of rest. Now in our text, we find that Christ is interested in His children coming apart into a desert place that they might rest a while. Amen. He knows this is a need of their life. He knows that they cannot continue to go on and on and on, week after week, month after month, beyond what they have done. Amen. They may be filled with zeal in the moment. They may be on a high right now. And yes, they have labored and they have given all they've got. Amen. And it would seem like they have been so successful. Amen. That had it been us, we'd have probably, Brother David, turned them right back out again and say, well, go do it again, boys. Amen. Burn out, don't rust out. But Jesus said, there is a need that evidently they themselves were not even aware of. Jesus said, you need rest. I know you're excited, nothing wrong with that, but you need to rest. And I want to preach on this out of the text tonight, the doctrine of rest. Amen. I'm glad that Christ knows what we need. By the way, let me make this statement that there are some that wear it as a badge of pride and honor how hard they work. And everybody ought to be a hard worker. You know how I stand on that. I ain't preaching laziness tonight. If a man won't work, according to the Word of God, if he is able to work and he won't work, he ought to starve to death. Amen. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, quit feeding them bums. They'll get hungry enough, they'll go get a job. Amen. And that needs to be preached in Cobb County tonight. Amen. Amen. There is a system, and I'm for helping the poor. I'm for feeding the hungry. Amen. But if a man's hungry because he don't want to go get a job, amen, then, amen, quit giving him something. He'll get hungry enough. He'll go work for something. Somebody help me preach right there. Amen. Amen. That is a need in our day. And so we're not talking about laziness, but we've all met that one that boasts when they talk about how many hours they work in a week. Everybody look up here. That don't make you the most spiritual person in the room. Amen. I hear folk talk about their laboring sometimes, amen, as though that makes them something super duper special. Amen. Well, I mean, I want to look at them sometimes and say, welcome to life. Big deal. Amen. You want to compare schedules? We'll all pull them out and we'll crown somebody. Somebody help me. You may not be as, amen, I got to move off this, but you may not be as big and bad as you think you are. Amen. Amen. The doctrine of rest. I'm still in introduction, but let me give you some reasons these disciples needed rest. See if we can relate to this. What are some reasons they needed rest? I thought about this in the text. Because of the weariness of their work. They've been at it nonstop for weeks, maybe months. They have just been laboring. They've been working. They've been traveling. They've been going to and fro. And the Bible said He sent them out to preach, and they would preach daily, no doubt. Amen. They claim, and I don't know about this other than I know what it is to work an 8-hour day. Amen. In fact, I know what it is to work 18-hour days in tithes. Amen. I know what it is to preach. Amen. A half hour, 45 minutes or 60 minutes or, amen. I know what all that is like. Amen. And they say that to preach 45 minutes is equivalent to the mental load and the physical load of working an 8-hour day. Amen. I don't know about all that. I do know at the end of a Lord's day, after I preach just twice, amen, I feel like I've been run over by a Mack truck. These men preached every day. One would stand and preach, he'd get done, the other would stand and preach, when he'd get done, the other and get back. And they have been laboring, they've been going at it nonstop. They, amen, have been burning the candle in both ends because there was a work that had to be done. There was a time frame to get it done. And they were giving themselves nonstop to the work and the labor that God had put them in. I don't care how big we are, how little sleep or much sleep we require or don't require. Amen. There is a weariness when you've been working and going at it. Amen. Maybe it's a physical load. Maybe it's a mental load. Maybe it's an emotional drain upon your being. But, amen, these men no doubt had experienced all of that. And because of the weariness of their work, Christ said, amen, you may not realize it, but I see where you're headed. I see and know what you've been through. And right now, the best thing you can do is just rest. Sometimes when our weariness, with the weariness of our work, be it the work of God or be it the place of employment in which, amen, you go to and check in every day or ways that, amen, you make a living, the labor, do you not feel the drain of that at times, the weariness of times, amen, and sometimes it's just a reminder, amen, that we sweat and we labor and we get weary in our, amen, in our labor and in our work. That brings on a need of rest in our life. I thought about this. They needed rest. Christ was aware of their need of rest because of the wounds of their warfare. You read what Matthew recorded when Christ said, I'm sending you out. Brother Carl, he said now, amen, you're not going to be received everywhere. Some places, they're going to shackle you and imprison you. They're going to beat you. They're going to throw rocks at you. And it's not going to be an easy road. In other words, as you go, these unclean spirits are going to encounter. Amen, you're going into warfare. And in that warfare, you are going to be wounded along the way. I think about being a child of God in our warfare. I think about what we are as children of the King. Amen. Being children of the King, being servants of the Lord. Amen. We have targets upon our back. Amen. As we seek to live for God, as we seek, amen, to be faithful, we are to be good soldiers in this fight of faith. Amen. The enemy is coming against us and bombarding us on every hand. Hey, is there anybody's ever been wounded in the warfare that we have as children of God? Amen. I see men who have come back excited, yes, but battle scarred. Peter, where'd you get those marks on your wrist? Oh, they throwed me in prison up there in Capernaum. I was preaching in this little village. I didn't even know was out there. And they got mad and throwed some stones at me, John maybe would say. Sometimes we go through the battle, we go through the war, amen, and we get wounded in the faith, amen, of just being a child of God and a good soldier in the faith. Amen. And I'm glad that Christ took notice of what they had encountered and what they had gone through and said, amen, I know what you need right now. Amen. You don't need another evangelistic campaign. You don't need another outreach. You don't need another day of labor right now. Just rest a while. After you've come through a season, we all know what it is to go through seasons of battles. Glad there is rest. Christ knows when to pull us out of the battle to give us the rest that we need. He knew they needed rest because of the weariness of their work and the wounds of their warfare, but because of the what we'll call the withstandings of their weariness. He knew that they was just go or of their weakness rather. He knew how weak they were. He knew to send them out, though they're excited. And Brother Riley, if he had asked them, you boys want to do it again, they'd have signed their name up probably on the line and said, let's go tonight. Lord, we're ready. Lord knew what them boys could handle. He knew, my friend, if he'd have sent them back out, amen, that likely it could have been to their own detriment. Amen, that he is going to send them out. Oh, yes. Amen, they're going to go again. Yes, in fact, days are to come and days ahead that and they're literally going to be sent into not just Galilee, but into all the world to preach the gospel. And they're going to do a great work, but the Lord knows that they're not strong enough in the moment to do that. You know what I'm thankful for tonight? God knows our limitations. Amen. Even when I don't know my own or maybe, amen, ignore my own, I'm glad I have a Savior. Amen, He knows that we're but dust. Amen, He knows our weaknesses. Amen, as we studied in Psalm 103 just over the last few weeks. Amen, He knows that we're as the grass and the field and the flower. Amen, then we can only endure so much heat and so much wind blowing across our lives. Amen, and the Lord said, I know the weakness that you have. Just rest for a little while. I don't know if that helps you tonight. It helps me. Amen. The doctrine of rest. The doctrine of rest. Amen. Let me give you three principles of rest for the life of the believer. Do you want rest tonight? Amen. Now some of y'all, you want physical rest and you want your mind to be able to calm down. But I'm telling you tonight, if you don't find it spiritually first and foremost, you will never enjoy the others if you can attain it. I'm going to deal with the physical and the emotional tonight. I believe that's definitely in the context. But I want you to understand tonight, rest. Rest is something Christ is teaching is important even for children of God. We say, number one, rest involves a definite purpose. Rest involves a definite purpose. Rest a while. Hear the words of our Savior. Rest a while. This means to cease, to quiet, to refresh. Amen. Christ is saying that, amen, yes, you've labored. I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for what you've done. Amen. But when there is a purpose that is involved. Amen. And you simply coming apart and resting a while. Amen. To cease from that labor. To find a quiet place in which you can sit down. Amen. There needs to be a refreshment to your body. A refreshment to your mind. And a refreshment of your soul. And so what are the purposes that we find in resting? What are the definite purposes? Well, number one, and it all relates to labor, to cease, that is to cease from labor, to be quiet from work, to be refreshed from the endeavors that have been poured out. All of these purposes are related to our relationship to labor. Number one, we rest for the definite purpose, I would say tonight, to reflect on our labors. While you're laboring, you don't have time to reflect on all that you're doing and accomplishing. I know what it is to work physically, to put your hand to something and to get so involved in that and wrapped up in that and get so dogmatic about what you're doing you don't even realize, amen, what you're pouring out, what you're accomplishing. But, amen, I know what it is at the end of a long day of work to be able to, amen, finally breathe and take your hand off of it. And Brother A.L., you can look back and you can then reflect on all that you've done in that time frame of work. I say rest affords us the definite purpose that we might reflect on our labors, Christ. Amen. The words of our Lord and our Savior, rest a while. Amen. Come apart. Amen. Reflect. I believe that's what they're attempting to do. Amen. The apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had died and what they had taught. Amen. What are they doing? They're reflecting. And Christ said, amen, whoa, slow down a minute, boys. I can see, oh, Lord, we done this and we preached that and we saw this done. And Lord, we're ready. Let's go back after it. Lord said, just slow down a minute. Rest so you can really, truly reflect on the significance of your labor for me. Amen. You say, preacher, why do I need rest? What is the definite purpose? Because every now and then you need to reflect on what you're laboring in. Did you really give it your all? Did you really put all your heart and soul into it? Are there areas you could have stepped up and maybe been even more successful than you were? See, if you never take time to rest, you'll never take time to reflect on how you can become more effective, be it the work of God or working wherever you work. Amen. You need to rest so you can reflect on your labor. Number two, for the purpose that we might recover from our labors. I found a word here in the text that really is a small word, but a big principle. Jesus said, come ye yourselves apart. Apart. Now, the old preacher man Vance Shadner said of this phrase, you better learn to come apart or you will come apart. I believe that that is so. The word apart there, Brother Mike, it reveals or implies a winding down. Come ye yourselves apart. What Christ is saying, you need to wind down. I'm talking about, amen, these boys are coming back. Woo! Hallelujah. Lord, you won't believe what we did. You won't believe how far we carried the gospel. You won't believe how many people we've reached. And the Lord said, what y'all need to do for a minute is just wind down. No, you're excited. He's not trying to take the excitement out of them. Amen. But listen, the higher you get emotionally, are y'all listening? The higher you get emotionally, the farther you have to crash down if you don't take time to rest. I'm trying to help you. It is not. Now listen to what I'm about ready to tell you. Is everybody listening? It is not the will of God that we live in the extremes of the highs and the lows. There are people that, amen, I won't be careful. There are people I know that they're either really, really, really way up or they're either really, really way down. Jesus said, boys, y'all are in danger of getting too high. And what you need to do is wind down just a little bit. Amen. Our generation can't wind down. We're so hyped up on phones and social media and video watching. Always got to have our mind at wheels that got to be spinning. I can't sleep if I don't. Nobody ever winds down anymore. Come on now. You need to have some time where you just get away, and I'm maybe getting into some other areas. I'll preach here in a second. You just need to wind down every now and then, get away somewhere and let your mind just start coming down. Amen. There have been studies shown the ignorance of our generation, we don't even realize what we're doing to our own minds. The addiction to cell phones is absolutely ridiculous. Amen. I ain't trying to be vulgar, and I'm off the radio, so I can just be plain to you. It's sad. We're a generation, we can't even go to the bathroom without having a phone in our hand. Come on now. I'm trying to be as couth as I know to be. We don't realize what we're doing to this, and it's always engaged, it's always spinning, it's always going on, and there have been scientific studies that have been done, amen, that people are losing sleep. They're not able to sleep at night, amen, because of the light from the phone that they're on for hours and hours before they try to lay down and go to sleep. Taking in things that crank the mind up and get the juices flowing. We wonder, why can't I find rest? Jesus is saying you need to learn what it is to come apart. Wind yourself down. Amen. Ain't we having a time? Number three, the purpose of to rejoice over our labors. You know what rest does? As we reflect on our labor and we recover from our labor, and I know they're coming back, buddy. I'm telling you, they are amped up. They are amped up. I mean, they've drunk a whole case of Red Bull. Amen. Wouldn't it give them the average that they have, amen, about what they feel about what they've done? They don't need no Monster. They don't need no energy drink. They don't need protein. Amen. There, I'm talking about screaming, Lord, you won't believe. Lord said, listen, I'm not trying to knock the joy out of you. Number one, you need to rest so you can realize it was not you that done it. It was my power and my spirit working through you that done it. You remember when the 70 came back, the Bible said they came back rejoicing, saying to the Lord, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus never patted them on the back. And I'm not saying it was so much rebuke, maybe a silent rebuke, but it was a means of making them pause and truly think about why they were even able to do it in the first place. He said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. What is he saying? He's saying, boys, amen, you need to rest, you need to pause, you need to wind down, and you need to reflect on what you've done and realize, amen, it wasn't by your mind, it wasn't by your power, it wasn't by, amen, your own strength and ability and greatness. It is because you're a child of the King. It is because you belong to the kingdom of God. Amen, that is why you're able to do these miraculous things you're doing. And in that, we're able to rejoice not in ourselves, but rest affords us an ability to rejoice in the Lord for what He's done through us. Amen. Definite purpose to rededicate to our labors. Rededicate to our labors. Rest a while. Not forever. Amen. We got a generation, they're resting, but they rested. They got the doctrine of rest down a long, 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 long time ago. They're still resting. Amen. Jesus didn't say you got to rest forever. He said rest a while. Rest a while, that is for a short season, for a set period of time in which labor will be resumed and reengaged. Amen. To rededicate to our labor. Amen. I think about the whole context of Mark 6 and what we preached on last week. Amen. Understanding that while they're gone, it would appear, amen, that somewhere in the early parts of their ministry, at John the Baptist, one of their heroes, the one who baptized their Lord and their Savior, the one that pointed them to Jesus in the first place, amen, he's been beheaded because he preached. He's been beheaded because of his labor. He's been rejected and cut off because of ministry's sake. Amen. And now they get back and they hear the words, you're not going to believe it. Amen. John the Baptist, the greatest born of women, cost him his life. In that moment, that would have been hard for them fellas to hear. You know what rest did for them? Rest was for the purpose that in resting, they could wrap their minds around what that really meant and rededicate themselves back to the work of God to say, John set the pattern that we can labor even if it costs us our life, and rest lets your mindset get right about laboring for the Lord. Amen. Let me say a word, number two. That's rest involves a definite purpose. I'm almost done. Rest involves a desert place. The rest that Christ is leading his children to involves a desert place. I wrote it down this way. Rest would not be found in the metropolitan venues, but in the stillness of the desert place. I say tonight, God dwells in the desert. Let me just give it to you quickly. This desert place, it represents the place of privacy. Come ye yourselves apart. Get away from the crowds. Get away from the rigid schedule that you're keeping. Get away from all the chaos and the cramping that folk are just diving in upon you. Fellas, just go to a desert place. It's a private place. In fact, the last word of our last verse, verse number 32, and they departed in a desert place by ship privately. I say that rest, if you're really going to find rest according to the Word of God, it involves a desert place, which means and represents a place of privacy. Amen. You got to get away from the crowd sometimes. Amen. Being all alone and on your phone does not adequate privacy. Let me say that again. Being by yourself but on your phone does not equate to privacy. Let me say that one more time. Being alone all by yourself and stuck on your stupid phone does not equate to privacy.
Amen.
Amen. See, we have ways now of being attached. We can be all alone and yet stuck in the web and still be attached to everybody that is out there. Why can't I find rest? Why can't I settle down? Because you don't know what it is to live your life in a place of privacy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Represents a place of privacy. I like this one. It represents the place of leisure. Where Christ took them. Do you notice what the Bible said? That when it involved their work, when it involved even their coming to Him, the Bible said, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure. Now, leisure in a lot of ways is a problem for our generation. Everybody takes their leisure and has their entertainment. Amen. And that is something we all have to be on guard for. Amen. But sometimes rest involves just getting away to a desert place so that you can experience a little bit of leisure. Amen. You see, your pastor's not one of these guys that think you got to live like a monk in a cave or a monastery every day of your life. Amen. Has just got to be spent going, Amen. The Lord wants you to enjoy life every now and then. Hey, duh. Amen. I'm telling you, he said, you boys, you know what the word leisure means, Brother Jack? Here's what it literally means. Y'all ready for this? Oh, this is good, Brother Carl. This is good. You know what that word leisure there in the text means? It means to have a good time. Lord said, I'm proud of you. You've been at it. The best thing you can stop and do for just a little while, just get away and have a good time. Luke 9, I love this. Oh, y'all know I'm going to love this. Luke 9 and verse number 10 deals with this same setting. Luke gives us an added detail. You know where he's going to take them? Amen. Yes, it's going to be a desert place, and it's going to be, the Bible said, a desert place belonging to Bethsaida. Bethsaida. You know what Bethsaida means? Fishing house. Jesus said, y'all need some leisure. Y'all need to go fishing a little while. Woo! Hallelujah! Without just cutting up, you know what the Lord's really saying? He's saying, y'all need to do something that is outside the scope of your work. Outside even the scope of ministry. Find some leisure. Find something that you can have a good time. Not that serving Jesus is a bad time. That's not what we're saying. Not that working and having a schedule day after day is a bad thing. It's a good thing. The Lord is saying you need something you can do to just let your hair down, kick your sandals off, and just have a good time. Amen. Not all the time, but every now and then. Amen. It represents a place of nourishment. Oh, I could make us mad right here. The Bible said that in their labors, they had no leisure so much as to eat. They were so busy, they were not eating right. Amen. I could make us all mad tonight. Your diet has a whole lot to do with how you're able to rest. Amen. Today's very few in the building can go, amen, eat a 24-ounce ribeye after service tonight, amen, with 5 baked potatoes and swallow it down with a gallon of sweet tea and go home and rest. Amen. Miss Kate made spaghetti this afternoon, and I've been burping it up all afternoon. I got acid stuck right there. I've been fighting it the whole time I'm preaching. I'm going to be up all night because I ate stupid spaghetti that tasted wonderful that I love. I'm going to pay for it all night tonight. How you eat affects greatly your ability to rest. Amen. Cut back a little bit. Amen. Ain't we having a time? I'm just watching. I'm just seeing who's squirming. Eat right. Eat better. Don't eat late at night. Plan on getting to bed at a decent time. Map out your evening where you cut off how much you're going to eat. Amen. That's what Jesus said. He said, y'all ain't been eating right. It's time, amen, I'm going to feed you, but I'm going to feed you the right things, and we're going to get on, amen, a pattern of nourishment that's going to help you rest. Ain't that good? That's good preaching right there. That's good advice. At the least, it's good advice. Ain't you tired of being wore out all the time? Amen. You can't eat a half a gallon of ice cream at 10:30 at night and expect at 3 in the morning you're going to be sleeping. Amen. And it gets worse as you get older. Somebody help me now. I remember when I was in Bible college, I worked at the Pizza Hut, and we would go to Bible college during the day, and we'd work in the afternoon. We was on the late shift, and we'd work till midnight, and I'd have to do some of my studying after I got off at midnight, and we'd carry large pizzas back to the dorm. I'd sit there and eat a whole large pizza, study for an hour, crawl up in my little bunk bed and sleep like a baby. Amen. If I tried that tonight, I'd be up for 5 nights, just, amen, miserable as the day is long. Amen. You're going to have to learn how to do that. Amen. All right. Rest involves a desert place and a definite purpose, but rest involves a desirous person. Say, what do you mean? I find something very interesting. I think it's the spiritual principle of the whole context of the verses, that really this rest is about after you have done something for the Lord, He desires us to spend time with the Lord. Rest will only be found as you rest in Him. I'm trying to teach you something tonight. I really want you young folk to listen, get a hold of this. Some of you older folk ain't learned it yet. You need to listen to what the pastor's trying to teach you. You're going to have to learn how to get along with Christ if you're ever going to know something about rest.
Amen. Amen.
Christ ain't on Facebook.
Amen.
Christ ain't on Twitter.
Amen.
Christ ain't on the productions of Hollywood that shine through our televisions.
Right.
You're going to have to learn to get in that private place and be alone with the Savior and draw rest. You know what I found? It's amazing what some time with the Lord does to rejuvenate me, not just spiritually, but emotionally, and yes, even physically. What He said, oh, listen to this, Luke 9:10 in Luke's account, Luke said they come back and they told Him all the things that they did, and then the Bible said, and He took them. As though it is to say He desires to spend time with them. I'm sure there was a measure where He was proud of what they had done. He had commended what they had done. Amen. What they had preached and what they had accomplished in the souls that had been saved and rescued. Amen. No doubt all of that in their service, in their labor, it was commended. Listen what I'm going to say tonight. He'd much rather spend time with them than anything. Amen. This is not, amen, I hear some talk about spending time with the Lord, that that's all our life is to be about. There is a sending and a commissioning time where He sends us out to labor, but don't forget to take time to spend with Christ. He desires your time. In time with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find the rest for your soul that you desire tonight. How many of y'all know what I'm preaching? How many of y'all want to know what I'm preaching? Amen. I don't claim to have it all nailed down. Amen. I would say require little rest compared to what some require. And we're not all the same. And that's okay. Amen. You ain't got to keep my schedule and I ain't got to keep your schedule. It's okay that we're all different. Amen. I'm going to tell you what I've given you tonight are some principles that you can plug into your life and who God has made you and fashioned you to be. Take these principles, plug them into your life, and know what it is to have rest in a generation of unrest.
Amen.
There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, and it begins with spiritual rest. Amen. Amen.